I don't know about you, but I love Communion Sunday. But growing up in a Baptist church, we didn't take communion that often. I thought the little cups of juice were really cool, but there was never enough juice in them to wash down that little foam wafer that stuck to the roof of my mouth like plaster. It wasn't until as an adult that I started gaining an appreciation for communion. And after time, I began to cherish Communion Sunday, and I felt really bad if I happened to miss a Communion Sunday. Before becoming a pastor, my wife and I would occasionally be servers. And as a server, I started to gain more appreciation for what communion meant to other people. Then when I became a pastor, I also became the officiant. It was now my job to do the priestly act of blessing and serving the elements. Now, I have served communion in big churches and small churches. I have served communions to individuals in their homes and to small groups as well. I have taken communion at annual conference with thousands of others. And I especially enjoy sharing communion on Maundy Thursday just before Easter. And all of these experiences are unique in their own way. One of the things that makes communion really special to me is that it was one of the last things that Jesus did with his disciples before he went to the cross. The Bible tells us that the Last Supper started off as a traditional Passover feast. The Passover was a festive occasion, a celebration of the nation's release from Egypt's bondage. In the scriptures, we know that the Israelites were under the rule of the Egyptians for hundreds of years. They were told of the promises of Abraham, but now they found themselves as slaves. And in Exodus 6, it says, "Therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." And we know the story in Egypt, don't we? God sent several plagues. And one night, God gives Moses a command that all who believe in God are to make a sacrifice of a lamb and make other preparations to depart quickly. And the blood of the lamb was to be posted on the doorway. And God took the firstborn of all who did not have the blood. And as a result of the massive deaths throughout Egypt, Pharaoh released them quickly and said, "Get out of here. Take this stuff and go." And he changed his mind very quickly. And they escaped through the Red Sea. And to remember this night that God gave them some special instructions on how to celebrate Passover as an annual holiday. In Exodus 12, he said, "This is a day you are to commemorate for generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" And from that time on, and even in today, the Passover feast is celebrated each and every year. This was a very important part of the life of the Jews in the time of Jesus. Jesus spent 3 years living in close company with his disciples. And this wasn't his first Passover meal with them, but he knew it would be the last. And despite knowing that one of them would betray him, one of them would openly deny him 3 times, and that all would desert him at the cross, it was still important for him to share this final meal with his disciples. Do you get that? Jesus knew what was coming. But this was an important moment to share with them. So he sent out the disciples to make preparations. Luke says this, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Jesus was eager to eat this meal, to share this Passover with them. This was a very special night for Jesus. And John's gospel says Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's a pretty great statement, isn't it? Despite all their faults, despite all the mistakes that they were going to make, he loved them to the very end. He was their teacher. He was their rabbi. He was their friend. And Jesus even said, "These are my brothers and my sisters." This night was so impactful on the disciple John that he devoted 6 chapters of his whole book to that one night of the Last Supper. That's 1/4 of his gospel was dedicated to one night. Isn't that impressive? Did you ever know that about the Gospel of John? 1/4 of it covers one night. And as the meal progressed, Jesus continued to teach his disciples. He continued to talk about death and his departure. He talked about a new way and a new kingdom. And if you read through the different accounts, whether it's Matthew or Luke or John, you'll see that they just weren't getting it. And Jesus even showed them to be humble servants by washing their feet. Something reserved for a low servant on the totem pole. Because if you were a servant, there were certain orders. If you got to serve the wine and the dinner, you were up here. And on the bottom of the list was washing the feet. And Jesus washed their feet. And they still didn't get it. And during the meal, they even had an argument as to who would be the greatest. Because Jesus said a new kingdom is coming. And they're going, "All right, we're the knights of the round table. I get the first seat, right?" And somebody else said, no, I did this. I get the best seat." And they were having an argument. And Jesus must have been very frustrated. Yet he continued with a Passover tradition. As a part of the Passover, the disciples would have expected to Jesus as their leader to lead them in the partaking of 4 cups representing God's promises from Exodus chapter 6. And in Exodus chapter 6, the first promise is this: "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." Promise number 2, "I will deliver you from their bondage." Number 3, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." And promise number 4, "Then I will take you as my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." So part of the meal, they would stop and take this cup and remember that promise. And then later they would take cup number 2 and they would remember that promise. And they would have cup number 3. But it was this last cup that Jesus departed from the rituals that they expected. Because all their life they have done it the same way, the same way, the same way, the same way. Maybe it was their grandpa, maybe it was their uncle, whoever it was, did the same story the same way every time for their life. In the book of Matthew it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Passover was a remembrance by the Jews that they were God's people and that God was their God. But Jesus came not just for the Jews, Jesus came for all of us. For the law only covered the Jews, and the law was supposed to provide redemption. But what we found out was the law could not change people. The law didn't change their hearts. Sometimes it changed their actions, but it never changed their hearts. Jesus was sent that each one of us, all of us, would have a way to be forgiven, to be made righteous, so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. Because that was the real purpose of the law. Read the commandments, read through the laws. Every one of them is either about having a relationship with God or a relationship with each other. That's what the law was. And the laws were supposed to help us understand the boundaries of a right relationship. But Jesus came to change that. And Passover offered deliverance. It was a remember of the Jews being delivered. And through communion, we are offered deliverance. And through communion, we are offered freedom from our sins. See, we are delivered from our sins. Our sin is our oppressor. They are our Egyptians. We are slaves to our sin. And just like Passover was a deliverance for the Egyptians, communion is a chance for us to be delivered. And this act of communion was established by Christ for us to celebrate. And I think that's what probably makes communion so special to me. That we're sharing in the very act, the very same thing that Jesus shared with the people he was closest to. This is what Jesus did. There are a lot of people who get to travel to Israel, you know, to Jerusalem, and they say, hey, I walked on the same streets as Jesus, and it feels good. And I got to go into the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. That's all pretty cool, right? And if anybody wants to send me, I'd like to do that. But here, we get to follow the same steps, the same thing, share in that same meal. And after Jesus was resurrected, there's a story about the travelers on the road to Emmaus when Jesus showed up and they didn't recognize him until he did what? He broke the bread and they said, ah, I know who does that. That was something that Jesus did. The act of communion was important to the early church. It was the center of their worship. It was something that was repeated by the apostles. And in the writing of the Apostle Paul, we are taught many important things about communion and the proper way of taking it. And that, my friends, is a whole other sermon. I'm not going to take you there today. But the bread is a reminder of Passover. You see, God said, get ready to move quickly. This is going to happen tonight. And normally, what do you make homemade bread? You got to let the dough rise. So in the Feast of Passover, they usually eat unleavened bread because they didn't have time for it to rise. And the bread also represents that Jesus is the Word. John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives you life to the world. Then he said to them, Lord, give us this bread always. And then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus said, do not live by bread alone, right? But every word of God. So it represents the Passover, it represents deliverance, but it represents the word and the promises of God. And the cup represents the blood sacrifice. See, in the law, a blood sacrifice was required to pay for sins. Our sins are so abhorrent to God that it separates us. We can't come to God because of our sins. And he says, if you sinned against me, then something needs to be done. Something needs to be sacrificed, a blood sacrifice. And at the time of Passover, the doorway was covered with the blood of the sacrificed lamb. It was the sign that this is God's people covered by the blood. And when Christ became our final sacrifice, that if we repent, his blood covers our sins and we are offered forgiveness. It is by his blood we are offered salvation from eternal death. Because when he says you'll never die, does it mean we're going to live forever? No, it means our spirits will never die. We will live eternally. And it is only by his blood that we become children of God. Because the blood over the sign of the doorway, right, was a sign for the grim reaper who came through and took the firstborn. The blood said, this is a child of God. These are God's people. Don't touch them. And Christ's blood becomes that sacrifice blood by which we become children of God and we are protected from eternal death. But communion is so much more. Communion is a holy mystery because each time we take it, we can have a different encounter with God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your experience with communion can be different each time you take it. You see, one way through communion, God offers us nourishment through his word. I don't know about you, but sometimes after communion, I feel nourished. I feel renewed. I feel refreshed. God's word provides us wisdom. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. And that is something you can experience at the communion table. Communion is a time of fellowship and a time of unity. It is a time that we are called to be in union with each other and union with Christ, knowing that we are following the same tradition that Jesus did, that his apostles did, that the first century did, that the mid-century churches did, to the same thing that we are doing today, that other Methodist churches are doing today, other denominations are doing today. It's a sign of unity that we can all come together and say it's about the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Of all the things that we can agree on, can we agree that that's one thing we can all agree on? And communion is an act of worship. It's time that we praise God and give thanks to him for sending his son to us. It's a celebration. Think about it. It can be joyous. Oh, thank you, God. Amen. You're here. You died. This is wonderful. It can be a time of worship for you. And in communion, we find an opportunity to have an encounter with Christ. Did you ever think of that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have an opportunity to encounter Christ. It's his blood, his body. Take, do, and remembrance of me. You can come and meet Jesus right here, right now. Do you know that that's what our worship is supposed to be? We're here to have an encounter with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's not here about getting what we want. It's here about meeting God. And we know God is omnipresent, but this is a special moment where we set aside everything else and we say, Lord, I've come to the table to meet you. And maybe you need to meet him for forgiveness. Maybe you need to meet him because you're hurting and you need healing. Maybe you need to meet him because things are just not going right and confused and you're lost and you need guidance. And maybe you're here just to thank him. Lord, thank you. You have blessed me. You have given me. You have forgiven me. I've got more than I deserve. And Lord, I am here just to say thank you. And I'm taking this. Thank you. So the question is, how will you experience communion today? Will it be just another time? Or it will be a time of forgiveness, a time of refreshment, a time of nourishment. Will you do it as a sign of unity that we're all in this together? We're on the same journey, the same path. Will you do it as an act of worship? I mean, truly worship. We talk about worshiping athletes. We talk about worshiping celebrities. And we can find on their social media page how many followers they have and how many people are checking it out every day and following and looking at all their alerts of this going on and that going on. And we watch TV and then we watch Entertainment Tonight and then we watch the ball game and the post game show and every ESPN highlight, right? We'll all find something we worship, that we follow, that we have to see, the can't miss TV show, the can't miss movie. We all have something that we're driven to go for. How many of us are driven to follow Christ? To truly worship, when you fall down and you honor and you put that first ahead of all else. That is worship, my friends. How many Sundays you come and do that? How often do we say, God, I am coming today to honor you. God, I am coming today for you to teach me something. God, I am coming today for you to impart wisdom on me. God, I'm here today because I need healing. Do you come to have an encounter with God? And the encounter depends on you. And Jesus invites us to the table. And in a moment, we're going to do a full liturgical communion where we will read together and we'll share a communion by passing a plate of bread and then the cups, and then we'll all take it together in unison. And during these readings, I want you to focus on the words that are used, because they weren't just randomly picked. I want you to consider what communion means to you. I want you to truly and prayerfully offer yourselves to God, to genuinely ask for forgiveness in your heart. But just as the prayer says, forgive me as we forgive others, maybe before you encounter Jesus, you need to say, I need forgiveness and I need to give forgiveness. I want you to be open to the Holy Spirit. We talked about it in our Sunday school class today. So many times we are acting in this physical world where we get up and we do things and we interact with people and we go and we live in this physical world, and we forget that we are a spiritual being living in a co-spiritual world. The forces of evil are real. The force of the Holy Spirit is real. It is not a Star Wars invention. We truly fight the forces of evil. And we have to be open to the Holy Spirit to gain that power to experience this encounter. And this encounter can be a holy mystery that is very impactful and meaningful for you if you want it to be. So will it be just a piece of bread and a dab of juice? Or will this be the time that you encounter our living God?